Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to target the enterprise.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
In all ways, sales, marketing, product, etc., and see how far we can get on giving you folks a lot of thoughts on how to do that. One of the reasons we're talking about this is because there's a trend that both of us have seen where even companies with just a single founder are going up market and not just going after like small, medium businesses, but they're also going after mid-market companies and larger companies. And just to throw it out there, Stelly, to me, like this is not just about enterprise. It's just about, you know, charging more than like $10,000 a year. You know, because that's when you start getting into areas that all the enterprise sales type of stuff applies. In true form, though, an enterprise sale is in the millions of dollars a year if you really want to go for like what enterprise really means.
Yeah, it should be like 6-7 figures is typically what you what you would want. And we can go crazy on this episode, but I want to jump right in here, which is, here's my first tip to people. If you want to target enterprise or large organizations as your customers, you want to charge a lot of money for your product because the cost, it's going to take a very high amount of time, money, and resources for you to really close a enterprise customer. Their demands are going to be really high. They're going to be moving very slowly. You're going to need a lot of energy and effort and senior people on your team to close these customers. So it's going to cost you a shit ton of money to acquire a customer like that and a lot of time. So it needs to pay a big enough return to be worth it. And oftentimes, inexperienced startups that want to go the enterprise route, they think if they make their product a little cheaper, things might move faster. Or because they're lacking confidence, they're thinking, well, we can't really charge $250,000 for this, we're just going to charge $10,000 or $5,000 or, $1,000 a month or something. But then they approach this super massive, giant of a corporation, and they have to go through all these hoops, and they have to deal with all these delays and all these decision makers, and it takes them 18 months to close a deal that they thought would only take 2 months. And now, you've spent so much energy, time, and money, and you're making $1,000 a month. Like, that just makes no sense. So my first tip out there is that if you want to go down the enterprise route, you need to make it worth your while. And you need to realize that it's going to cost a lot more money than you think to acquire these customers. So you need to price your product accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, if you charge too little, then no one's going to care, and especially the larger sale. And it's odd. I've noticed it churns higher when they pay you less money in enterprise.
Yeah, in enterprise, it's definitely like these massive organizations, the cheaper your product, the less of a priority it is. And also, it is looked upon as like, you have to think about the world that they live in. They live in a world where they spend millions of dollars buying technology and implementing technology with lots of consultants, rolling them out over years. So when something is like a few hundred dollars or $1,000, to them, that equals that this probably is not a good tool. This probably is not a company that's going to be able to service them well. So they actually, pricing makes a big part of the branding in terms of how serious these companies will take you.
Yeah. So pricing as signal for value of your product and how seriously they should take it, I think, is a big one in enterprise. I mean, another one here is like, I would say it has to do with sales cycle. So I see a lot of companies, especially, I mean, this was more prevalent earlier, like back in the day, but companies get kind of frustrated having a long sales cycle, right? And saying, oh, it takes 6 months to close the deal for an enterprise customer, let's say in the 6-7 figures range. And you know, it kind of makes sense. But every time that I've dug into those problems, and, you know, if it's a problem and someone says it takes 6 months, typically they're just doing something wrong in their sales process. And usually it has to do with the process itself and the way that they're setting up the meetings with the enterprise. For example, they're not getting all the key decision makers into, you know, conversations within the first month of starting to talk to them. And I've seen acceleration happen pretty fast, going from 6 months down to 3 or 4, even less. Once you really figure out, like, how should I be selling this enterprise? How, Are you, you know, like mapping their org chart on every call, asking who else needs to be on the next call, and every call asking, are there any other people who should understand this information that we shared with you today? And all those kind of like questions to surface basically what's the decision-making process inside of the company. So that's a big one that I have to point out, which is like we used to think enterprise selling to enterprises takes 6 months and that's okay. I think now I'm finding more and more, especially with SaaS businesses that are selling to enterprise, they can actually make that process much faster.
Yeah, I think one piece of advice that I give in terms of understanding what it really will take, the problem for most startups is that, or most companies that sell to enterprise, is that they get some kind of an entry point, they have a few conversations, and they don't ask all the critical questions to truly understand what it will take to close this deal and close this customer. So what happens is they come up with a thesis on what it's going to take, and then quote unquote, all these surprises pop up that delay things and make them take much longer. So my advice to founders is that once you talk to an enterprise client and you realize that it seems like there's a good fit and they seem interested, I would always do a technique that I coined the virtual close, which basically is just asking them, hey, you know, it seems like this is very promising and could be a great fit for both sides. Let me ask you, what would it typically take for you to purchase our product and become a customer? What are all the things that we have to do from this point on all the way to us successfully, you know, implementing our technology in your company and helping you with all your problems? And the key part is not just to ask the question, what will it take for you to become a customer, but then to follow up with questions until you've reached a virtual point where they buy. So when they tell you, well, you know, we're going to have to go back and talk to a bunch of stakeholders and see what they think about this, most people will just go, cool, sounds good, let us know what happens, right? Which is obviously not the right step. Instead of doing that, you go, all right, so you go back, you talk to the stakeholders. Let's say that conversation goes well. First of all, who are all the other stakeholders, right? But let's say that conversation goes well. What typically happens next? Well, next we want to get on another call and get more stakeholders involved and asking questions, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. Let's say that call goes well. What happens next? Well, next we want to do a pilot. Again, most people eventually, they will stop asking questions and go, sounds great, a pilot, exciting. All right, let's try to make it happen. I would advise you to keep following up, right? So I go, all right, let's talk about pilot. How do you typically do pilots? What KPIs do you set? How long do they take? What would a successful pilot look like? Let's say this becomes a successful pilot. What happens next? Are we in business already? Well, no, then you have to go through procurement. Okay, and then? And then you have to go through legal. All right, and then? And then my grandmother has to read your palm, you know, and look into your future. All right, and then? You know, are we in business then? Yes, then, you know, after that final step, we would purchase. Boom. Now you have a roadmap of what it's going to take, who are the stakeholders, what are all the steps. Now you can realistically assess, A, if you can shorten some of these steps, if you want to take all these steps, how long all this will take. You can have like a real roadmap. And then, you know, it's okay, this is going to take 6 months or it's going to take 9 or whatever it is. And now you can make very much better decisions than what most startups do in the enterprise space, which is they say, we talk to a team, the whatever director of marketing there is really excited about this. And then I ask, all right, so what's the sales process there? How are they going to buy? What are all the steps? And they just don't know. And they just make shit up. They just go, well, I think that, you know, they looked into it. I think that they should be ready in a few weeks to buy. I mean, we're planning on closing them this month. And they have no idea. You know, and then at the end of the month, I check in again and they're like, yeah, we're probably going to have to do a pilot, but they're busy with something else. So the pilot's going to start in, you know, October. All right. And then, you know, they finish the pilot and then, oh yeah, now we have some slowdown in legal or procurement because of some contract thing. And it just like it all these surprises, quote unquote, come up. And then a deal that the startup originally thought, oh, we're going to close this in a month. It in reality, it takes them then a year to close. Right, and that's really a very costly thing, is when you're not even knowing why all this takes so long. So I couldn't agree more with you on this. Here's another thing that I want to point out when it comes to enterprise sales for startups. I don't know how you see this, but I see a lot of startups stumble into it. And I think that that's a very risky way of doing things. And when I say stumble into enterprise sales, here's what I mean. The startup X starts off with an idea for a product. They imagine that product being used by businesses very generically around the world. they start by probably marketing more towards or thinking that their earliest customers are going to be probably in the SMB sector. And then they maybe go to a demo day of their incubator, or they get a little bit of press, or they present at some conference. And randomly, you know, a big enterprise reaches out and shows interest and says, hey, we want to also buy your product. And they have that first meeting with that enterprise customer. And because of a variety of factors, there's an enterprise potential buyer that's very excited about them. And all of a sudden they go, well, shit, let's just go into the enterprise space and sell them. And so there was no strategy of going into that space. There was no experience. They get a little bit of inbound interest, and they just say yes to that inbound interest without being fully aware of how you have to play the enterprise game to win. And then it might turn into this massive detour that oftentimes ends up deadly for these startups. I don't know if you've seen the same thing, but it's rare that I see young startups that are very focused and with strategy decided to go into the enterprise sector. I mean, that happens more and more. But what I also see often is that they just stumble into it. Something happens, they have a conversation with somebody that shows interest, and all of a sudden they go, oh shit, maybe we should go into the enterprise market. And I think that that's a very dangerous way to go into that space. You should have a solid strategy. You should know what you're doing. Just because a few big companies show some interest because you got a prominent article on some website, it doesn't mean that there is a product market fit or that your company should focus on that right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, accidentally stumbling into it can be a good thing if it's time to double down on it, or it can be a really bad thing because you accidentally stumbled on it and don't know what to do with that attention that you're getting. Also, I've seen a lot of false positives there too, where a company gets enterprise interest and they go all in on it, and then they realize it actually it's not going to work out for reasons like their product doesn't fit the market when it comes to enterprise, or they can't improve the product fast enough, or, you know, there was a random company that emailed or called or whatever or came in, but that's not indicative of other enterprise companies or larger companies.
Yeah. So another one maybe. Oh, let me ask you this, Heaton. So most of the startups that I've seen be successful in enterprise either were around for a while and they grew in resources and resourcefulness and in traction and branding, and eventually they kind of just grow, they go up market from small customers to bigger to bigger to bigger to eventually being at a point where they can service and succeed at the enterprise level. So very organically over a long period of time grow into the enterprise space. The startups that I've seen successful go into the enterprise space in step one are usually the ones that have experience in the enterprise space. So either the executives or founders worked at large enterprise organization or did enterprise sales before, or/and they've raised a ton of funding from investors that have a lot, that are like ex-executives of large corporations that just have a lot of expertise and know-how, and they hire and build a team that's very focused on enterprise. I don't know of many examples of a startup that was not really well-funded and that didn't have like a background of its founders and founding team in the enterprise space that was able to sell to the enterprise from the get-go successfully. Do you have an example of that, or have you? Does your experience match mine?
No, it matches yours fully.
So
yeah, I don't really have many examples. I mean, there's companies that are open source that end up, you know, adding services, businesses, and go enterprise pretty fast. Mm. But yeah, in general, pretty much maps.
So if our both experience maps there, you can reverse engineer this to an advice, which is that if you don't have a ton of resources in terms of funding and investors and advisors and people around you that have a lot of experience in this space, and you have the firepower, the money to really invest in this space, and/or you don't have a ton of experience working at large enterprises or selling to them for many, many years, it's usually not a good idea for you to go down that route. Like starting a self-funded technology company when you have zero experience, you've never worked for a large corporation, you've never sold to a large corporation, and then that's going to be your first customer. Oftentimes when people like that come to me, I ask them, why did you come up with an idea for a massive organization when you've never worked for one or sold anything to one? Like, how intimate can your knowledge really be in that space? 99.9% of the time, it's not a good idea to start there. Maybe you grow into that, but it's not a good idea to start with that in mind. It's going to be very difficult. All the learnings, all the time it takes. It's not an area you can experiment with, like, oh, I'll do some A-B tests in the enterprise space and then go back to something else. That shit doesn't work.
Even with outbound emailing, which is the key way to get enterprise sales, either emailing or somebody who already has a relationship with them, it's not, you don't have enough numbers. With small, medium businesses, there's millions of them.
Yeah.
And so sending cold emails works. Even with SaaS companies, sending cold emails and a little bit sloppy in the beginning can work. With enterprise, I think the process, you're right, it has to be a lot more deliberate. Usually you see either somebody with relationships targeting enterprise, like they already worked in the industry, or they're already a salesperson that knows how to kind of work the enterprise like that and has relationships, or you see people enter in who have funding, to be honest, you know, and are able to build out the tech and the team, and, you know, but they also start out with smaller companies, even if it's mid-market and smaller deals, even if it's like later stage startups before they start moving up into enterprise. I see that commonly, by the way, Stelly. I don't know what you see, but I see a lot of companies start a little bit smaller than enterprise, knowing that enterprise is the final kind of customer segment they're going to go after.
Yeah, and I think that that's smart. Like that's a very kind of common strategy, and I think it makes a ton of sense. So let me ask you, I think that most of the times when you start a new product and you want to have large enterprise customers, most of the times it's a sales-heavy effort at first, and then it becomes more and more marketing effort as you're scaling things up. Would you agree with that, or do you think there's like early stage things, like marketing-wise, people should really consider a few things from the day one when they want to go into that space?
Yeah, again, I know this is like a broken record right now, but like to me, open source is a good example of a marketing effort in enterprise. The marketing effort I can think of is you get the end user, because you know, in enterprise, there's buyers and there's end users.
Yep.
The people that are buying are not usually the ones using the product. That's changing a little bit, but it's still pretty standard. So the decision maker, the buyer, actually, there's even a decision maker, but that's a different story. But the buyer, and there's a buyer and an end user. So the buyer tends to be attracted by certain management features, administrative features, price, other kinds of things like that, efficiency, while the end user is very focused on what's this going to do for my job. And so if you can get an end user kind of bottom-up approach, get them using your product early, I consider that marketing. Open source products that target enterprise tend to do that. I think there's one called SolarWinds. I don't remember. They're a public company. They're the ones that always come to mind because they provided a whole bunch of tools for IT, traditional IT, and then basically had upsell into kind of the whole organization and kind of more of an enterprise sale once a lot of the developers in the company were already using the open source tool. This is a pretty standard tactic across the board around going after enterprise with marketing. So I'd say that's one. Outside of that, I don't know. I like sales when it comes to enterprise or even like larger deals first, because that's your fastest way to learn. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you should be optimizing for early on, is how fast can I learn? Marketing, you won't probably learn as fast as you would with sales, especially when you're targeting enterprise.
Yeah. So here's my tip to kind of round up this episode. I think my tip for people that still want, like that still feel like the enterprise is a big or the right opportunity for them and their startup. One tactic that I often teach that people put into practice with success is the, you know, ask for advice, you might get money, because if you ask for money, you will get advice piece. So oftentimes a good strategy in the early days to just learn a lot more and potentially start off the prospecting pipeline for your startup in the enterprise space is just to ping people that could be potential buyers or that know your potential buyers within the organization and tell them that you're building a new technology, you eventually want to sell to companies like theirs, and you want to get advice on how to build this technology from them because they're a domain expert or they're a thought leader. Just reaching out and saying, hey, I've admired your work, you're a thought leader, lots of people have brought up your name. I want to tell you a little bit about my new technology and get some advice from you on how to build this business. And then you just share with them what they'll leave their guard down because it's not a sales call. You tell them what you do passionately and you get their honest feedback. And then you literally just ask them, hey, if you were my co-founder, if you work with me on this, or if you were the founder of my company of this, how would you sell this to this business? How would you sell it to your employer? How would you go to market with this? And just use these people's experience and expertise to learn. A lot of the times, if what you have is truly compelling, these conversations, after they shared some like business knowledge with you and enterprise knowledge, it might turn into, hey, you know what? I think that we could be a buyer. And I think I know somebody in the company that you should talk to. And then they will be internal references and introductions. And these conversations oftentimes will turn into real like sales conversations. But even when they don't, they give you real knowledge of this space and how to think about things like a large corporation and how to sell to a large corporation. So I would really advise as step one is to meet with as many corporate enterprise executives as possible and get advice from them, and then see how much of that advice can you turn into practice, but also how many of these relationships can you really nurture to the point where they turn into potential buyers.
Yep, totally agree.
Awesome. All right, I think that's it from us for this episode. If you have more questions on how to successfully sell to the enterprise as a startup, or if you have use cases or advice or strategies you've used successfully, we say this a lot and we'll never stop saying it. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, steli@close.io, hnshaw@gmail.com, or ping us on Twitter, or any of the many other channels that we're out there on the web. We always love to hear from you, and we'll hear you very soon. This is it for this episode.
Yep.